This is Jake.
And this is Luke.
We're from Unpeople, and you are listening to The Itch.
This is your number one station, your officer station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Aaron, and this week we are scratching the itch for riffs. We got to have a conversation with Jake Crawford and Luke Cayley of the band Unpeople. And even if you've heard of them as Unpeople, which you may or may not have by now, they've only got a couple songs out. But within a few days of this release, they will have an EP out. And it is riffs for days.
Yes. Yes. That was one thing he said in the interview that I have not gotten out of my mind since he said it. And you'll have to listen for context, but it was one of the greatest things I think I've ever heard in an interview.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil the exact wording of what he said either, but it's like, I'm like, I think this might be our new tagline.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, for the whole show.
Yeah. I agree. And we keep coming back to that. Like, even our text conversation, we're like, yep, this song's got riffs for days. And, you know, there's five tracks on this EP that definitely have some killer riffs.
Yeah, and it's just awesome for us for a few reasons. Number one, I wouldn't have really guessed when we started doing this that we would interview so many bands from the UK.
I love it. I low-key think about moving over there.
And here's hoping that that continues over time, but
it's international expansion.
Exactly.
You guys hold it down in the US. I'll hold it down in the UK. We'll never record together again. Yeah. Sounds a little too weird. Sorry. Anyway,
our lunch schedules do not match.
Your lunch schedule is my dinner schedule.
Yeah. You wouldn't be fair. You'd be besties with Skindred over there. And we'd be like, what?
Like this. You guys got to move over here too. We're all, the itch is entirely just moves to Wales. Like, that would be wild. Anyway,
no, but the other thing that I get so excited about when we do these is when we get a chance to talk with a group of friends that just, you could tell why they love being in a band together. And Luke and Jake definitely carry that over from their previous band, Press Tomiko, and now into Unpeople.
It was also exciting to see how excited they were about this project, because they were in Press Tomiko mm-hmm. together, but they weren't the driving, you know, creative forces for that band. This band is, for the most part, it's everybody, but, you know, they're kind of the main writers and lyric writers and things like that, and they'll go over that. But yeah, it's definitely impressive to see how excited they are.
There's something that was actually interesting to me, and you'll hear more about this within the conversation, but is the transition. So Press Tomiko was a band that Luke actually was kind of the main guy behind, and he brought in Jake late in the game of that band. And then when it ended, they decided, we're not done. We want to keep making music together. And Luke kind of ceded the reins to where Jake is the front man of Unpeople. And Luke is more of a supporting role. As you mentioned, it is collaborative. But I just think that's fascinating to be like, I like this guy so much that I'm going to trust him to take the spotlight instead of me. And it works really, really well.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's one of those stories where, you know, a band is ending and then you're like, oh, no, it's my favorite band. Are they going to break up? But then for them to turn around and take that and then create a completely different project and add two other different members to the group, and it's similar in certain aspects, but it's completely different in other aspects as far as sound and sonics and all that stuff.
And to do all of that in one weekend is even more impressive.
Yeah. So speaking of that, when we first came across these guys and I first heard their story, it reminded me a little bit, but with some major differences, of The Violent. So if you can go way back in our archives now, episode 71, we interviewed Mike Prodich. He and some of his Violent bandmates were part of a group called Red Sun Rising. And when that band ended, they kind of went quiet. And then, like, mysteriously, this new band called The Violent came out, and eventually they were revealed to be these guys. Unpeople literally made their live debut at the same festival the day after Press Tomiko made its curtain call. Yeah. So there's this wild overlap of, like, one chapter closes and another one opens. And I think it's so fascinating. They'll talk more about it in there, but I'm not worried about sharing that spoiler because I think it's an interesting part of their story that you need to know is coming.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We're excited for them, and hopefully we'll get to chat with them again as they continue to make more music, which I'm sure they will.
Or see them live.
Yeah.
If they make their way over here.
Yeah, that's another one of my favorite things is I love whenever we get to talk to the big names, the veterans, people who are in bands like 311, like Breaking Benjamin. But just as much, I love whenever we get to talk to bands and we get in on the ground floor. Yeah, Preston Miko existed before that, and they were a bigger deal in the UK than in the US.
Yes.
On people, you know, spawning out of that has a little bit of a built-in audience, but really they're brand new. And I feel like we're onto something special to get to catch them right at the beginning of this, because I think they're going places.
I have to agree. And so far, our track record is pretty damn good. So
it's good. It is.
You know, I think we have like a 95% success rate.
I don't know what metric you're using, but I'll take it. I will agree with that. That's a fact.
And what constitutes success on our end. But
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who knows?
Of the small bands we talk to, like not imploding? I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know if any of them have actually imploded, but that's not a conversation for today.
Well, we definitely hope that you enjoy this conversation and definitely should check out the Unpeople EP. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with Jake Crawford and Luke Cayley of Unpeople. I'm just feeling the pressure. It's building inside of me. Just give me something to listen.
We're here with Luke and Jake of Unpeople and formerly of Preston Miko, which we will get into momentarily. But I wanted to start with you guys. How do I want to put this? So one of the main reasons we were, you know, adamant about trying to get you on the show. And also, by the way, thank you for agreeing to be with us about an hour earlier than your typical schedule.
Yes.
They're across the pond from where we are. And so time frames are difficult to manage, but we really appreciate that. One of the main reasons is because their EP, self-titled EP for Unpeople, is coming out this Friday if you're listening to this on release day. And I've listened to probably, I counted actually, a 40-ish or so brand new like albums this year so far.
Wow.
This might actually be my favorite thing I've heard so far this year.
Oh, like, come on.
No lie. I want you all to know that.
Are we going to listen to the other podcasts and you've said that to 40 other people as well?
No, actually.
It's not, yeah. He's very honest.
Most of them don't come on the show because I didn't like it enough. The bar is fairly high, and you guys cleared the bar really well. So I just want to let y'all know that right off the bat. I hope that's a bit of encouragement as you're putting yourselves out there for not the first time, but for the first time in this incarnation.
Yeah.
Sure. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For sure. All right. Now I can pass it over to one of these fellas. Dan, Casey, what are you thinking? Where do you want to start with the young people?
Well, I kind of want to start about the, you know, the formation of it, really. It's a very interesting story. And that's one of the things that kind of lured us toward interviewing you guys is that you guys were in a band called Preston Miko, and your last show with Preston Miko, you basically wrapped up with that band. And then the very next day, you guys started Unpeople. So I'd like to kind of get your take on that and basically how that went, like how all that kind of transpired. And I also was wanting to know, too, with that being your last set, like what kind of emotions were involved with that as well?
I think like, it's interesting because we knew that Prestamico was gonna end, because we'd actually played it, like 2000 Trees the festival was very much like a hometown show for us. It was like one of those festivals where our band could go and play and we would get billed a lot higher than we would perhaps elsewhere on other bills. And it just seemed to be that all of the people, the few people that liked that band, always ended up in the same place. So it was always like a big party. So we'd actually, I think the year before, we'd headlined one of the stages, and we kind of knew then that that was going to be our last show, and we were going to split up, but that wasn't public knowledge. So I think for me personally, and I think Jake felt the same, that kind of had a lot of the emotional weight behind it the year before. And then we eventually got around to announcing that we were splitting, and me and Jake had already sort of got the roots of Unpeople, you know, starting to grow, and we were writing and we were figuring out what we were going to do and how we're going to pull it together. And then I think the offer came back from Trees for Prestamico to come and be part of, see, they know how to get us musicians. They said, you can be part of the Legends lineup. So they knew how to like appeal to our ego, and like, it's like, well, we want to come back and be called Legends. So, but Prestamico agreed the show, and we were like, actually, we never got a chance to do like a send off show or a tour or anything like that. So we're just kind of like, why not go and play the one place that's always felt like our spiritual home as a band, and use that as the last show.
Yeah, for the absolute love of it. And also, yeah, like, you know, like the money's cool.
So between 2000 Trees 2022 and 2023, Prestamico was done and inactive. You guys were, you know, were working on the Unpeople stuff in that time.
We knew, what was it, Jake? Was it November 2021, I think?
Okay.
Yeah. That we kind of had that meeting. Like Lewis, you know, the drummer, and so Jake joined the back end of Prestamico for the last sort of 2-3 years, but the band was a band since like 2010, I think. So that's how myself and Jake got to meet. Jake played in an awesome band called Akoda, and it was one of those things where we kind of like each other's favorite bands, and then Jake pulled a Gibson SG out of his case, I pulled a Gibson SG out of my case. It was like the Step Brothers moment where it's like, did we just become best friends? Like, you like AC/DC, I love AC/DC.
Yeah.
So then we'd kind of been like really good friends since like 2015, and we'd always felt like, well, we'll do a band at some point and it'll probably be cool and we'll both play guitar. And then it just so happened that we needed a bassist, and we were like, well, it's not quite how we pictured, but you seem to like this band and the music we write, so do you want to come and do an album and have some fun? And then basically it got to a point where, you know, Lewis, the drummer, was just kind of done with the rat race of it all, you know, and it's as simple as that. There was no animosity, there was no falling out, and it was his time to check out and focus on other life, you know, aspects. And so we knew at the end of 2021, and it was one of those things where, I mean, we could still probably find the messages where, like, me and Jake quite literally that evening were like, well, we're not done, so should we both play guitar now, and should we start this thing? And then it kind of all went from there. So we, like I said, that's 2022, Prestamico played what we thought was our last show, and then by the time we played in 2023, which was our official last show, we already knew that Unpeople were going to play our first show, and we sort of pitched it to the 2000 Trees organizers to be like, well, look, it's going to be the Prestamico last show. How about we have the first Unpeople show the day after? But for us, it was just like, we want to transfer as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. You know, we wanted there to be no let off period.
Yeah.
And it just, we're very fortunate that the bookers and James Scarlett at 2000 Trees, who runs the festival, was always super supportive of what we did, and was just, he jumped at the idea. And then, yeah, that kind of leads us to now, I guess.
Did you get a nice little bonus for playing twice?
Yes, absolutely. It was quite funny. There was people who were at the festival who weren't aware of Prestamico, who came up to us being like, I'd never heard of you guys before, that was amazing. We're like, yeah, that's technically our first ever show, thanks very much.
We're done.
I mean, we were quite well rehearsed though, to be fair, so like, yeah. But yeah, that was some time. It was amazing.
Nice.
I heard a very fun interview you guys did right after that, a festival, like I think at the festival after, maybe on People's Side or whatever, and And Jake's joke was that he'd always, you know, wanted to be in this band, and then he joined him, and then they fell apart immediately afterwards. It's like, I didn't have to do anything. We were done by the time I got to the band.
So the record, I want to say there's no correlation with Jake joining and us not wanting to do it.
I would hope not.
I'm a fucking
doesn't sound
jinx.
Like it.
I'm a fucking jinx.
I don't think so.
How was that for you, Jake? Because, you know, I understand, like, from Impress to Miko, you weren't necessarily the front man. And then you go, you know, so you're kind of background. And then the very next day you're in the forefront, and it's all, you know, all on you now. So how was that for you?
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. Like the beauty of Press to Miko is that there was no real front man. It was a three piece. It was guitar, bass and drums.
Yeah.
Everyone was a demon on their instrument and everyone sung. So I think there was always that. I mean, Luke was kind of semi-default frontman, but just because he plays guitar, and for some freaking reason, like, that means that you're the front person.
it was literally only because, like, I was typically, I spoke in between the songs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
it's like
you're
that's
the most
the
social
only
one.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I just, in that band, I spoke. I was the guy that spoke typically, and like, so people were like, oh, he must be the front, and it's like, no, the drummer's singing more than I am in this current set, you know, like, so
yeah.
Sorry, Jake, as you were saying.
No, just then when it came to doing On People, I don't know, I feel like I've been building up to front in a band for some time, and it when it came to the crunch, I was like, yeah, I really want to do this. But the whole, like, I am stood in the middle and I'm singing a majority of the, like, you know, of some of the lead lines and things like that. But everyone in the band is like such a personality. And if you like look at our promos, watch our videos and stuff, it's like, yeah, I might be in the middle, but everyone's got some, like, there's something for everyone in there. But, No, I've been really, really happy with the taking up that position, and it hasn't really felt like a chore. Yeah, it's just felt incredibly natural, really. Like, I'm a fucking massive show off, so.
I think Jake, something, you know, me and Jake spoke about loads, is Jake's very, very talented at lots of instruments. So he was always the guy to join bands. You know, I mean, Jake, even a coder, which I think probably locally Jake would be most known for as his, you know, the band that he was part of. It was still a band that he joined, you know, and this was a real chance for us to, for me and Jake to finally start our own thing, and Jake have his own, like, he's the founding member with me of this band, you know. I think it feels different, you know. I think, yeah, not speaking for you, Jake, but it just feels different. It's like, it's your baby. And like, I had that with Press to Miko. It's the thing I started from years ago, is this thing I grew up with, whereas Jake had a coder and then bounced around playing, you know, being like the most talented guy in loads of other bands. And now it's kind of like, you know, we're just doing our own thing. And it's funny because I remember when we first we started writing, and I don't think we really from the off said this is what the lineup's going to be. I think it was, we just knew we were both going to play guitar and there'd be lots of vocals, and we'd, you know, use harmonies and vocals in unison, lots of gang vocals, just because, you know, again, we were doing that in Press to Miko, and I think, you know, that's one of the things that Jake was attracted to with that music as well. So we kind of wanted, we felt like we were onto something with that. And I think initially I always pictured us having a separate singer, maybe, because we were kind of bouncing around the idea of maybe we get someone else in. And yeah, Jake was just sort of there, like, he just had this thing boiling inside of him. It's just like, I know, I like, and I remember Jake saying, like, I think I should front this. And it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, like, I can't, like, why wouldn't
we? I remember it being like, I was kind of hesitant because I've always felt like I could, like Luke said earlier, I've always joined bands or been a session musician. I never have actively started my own thing from scratch. Like, I've been in bands since I was like 12 years old. And this is my first band. Like, that's literally how I see it. And it's kind of crazy. But I remember like pitching it to Luke being like, I think I really want to do this. And Luke said it crossed your mind too, but you were just scared that someone else was going to steal me and then we couldn't be a band. And I was like, I'm fucking in. Like, I'm so unbelievably in. You don't have to worry about it.
The amount of bands that like that, I'm sure you would, you know, you'd know the names of that have asked Jake to be in their band since this band started. Is there's at least six like notable bands that have
Jake nice. In their
band. Nice. Just, like, no.
Love turning them down.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then that's kind of, you know, I think once we established that, then we knew, all right, Jake's going to front it. There'll still be loads of vocals. And then we moved into just figuring out the lineup of the band, you know, which was, we really took our time with, and we wanted to make sure it was felt perfect, you know, in a lot of respects. And as the lineup formed, we realized that we could probably market this band and be a stronger package because there's four members that we've taken our time to curate. And for the purpose of putting on the best show we can and bringing the strongest package as a band. Cause I think that, you know, there's a lot of bands now, which, you know, I don't have an issue with, I think it's super cool, but there's a lot of bands where it's like, you've got the front person and it very much is about that person. And maybe the other members are interchangeable, but you know, I remember growing up with, you know, bands that have multiple vocalists. Like, I mean, even System of a Down were really one of the first bands that showed me at a young age, you can have different voices and different personalities yep. in a band.
Yeah.
And just kind of as it all came together, we were like, well, this feels great. And then we looked at bands like Turnstile, where, you know, Brendan Yates is often in the back of the photos. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's, but there's no disputing that he is the man. Do you know what I mean? He's like the guy, but they're presented in such a collective way and such a group and kind of more of like a hip hop group, or almost like I don't know, like a K-pop group or something, where you've got your different flavors of, you know, member of the band. And I think just as the lineup progressed and as we thought more about it, it's like, this is kind of cool. And there's not really any other rock bands that are trying to market themselves in that way. And, you know, so that, I think it was kind of like a natural progression into that as well.
That's a recurring conversation that we have, like when we're seeing shows and stuff, is usually the bands that stand out to us the most are the ones where you can look anywhere on that stage and be fully engaged with whatever somebody's doing. There's not one person drawing the entirety of the attention. Everybody is interesting. You know, they have their own unique look, vibe, whatever. And you guys definitely have that going on. And then another thing that I know is big for me personally, I think Dan and Casey would agree, is looking to see how many people are mic'd up. If I go and look on that stage and even the drummer has a microphone for vocals, I'm excited right off the bat. Like, so when you guys are out there and, you know, watching the videos and stuff, and all four of you are harmonizing and whatnot, I'm like, that's, I'm in, I'm sold already. So
it's always something me and Jake spoke about, is that it's like, especially if you're doing gang vocals, right? It's like, there's five of you on stage. It's like, surely it's not that much effort for you to join in on a chant and just add that bit of drama and performance and that live element to it. Cause I think in a world where so much with rock bands is moving onto track, which is a cool thing because you can bring higher production than you've ever been able to shows. But I think sometimes you get certain bands that maybe lean on it a little bit more than we personally would. And it's like, I think for our band, we've always wanted the ethos of like, if we can do it live, we'll do it, you know, and then we use the tracks to enhance that and do stuff that we can't afford a keys player. We can't afford a 20 person gospel choir, as much as we love it. Like, the logistics of that's a nightmare. So you, I feel like you use tracks for our band to bring the show and the, you know, up the ticket value in the performance. But what I think me and Jake early on said that we want to be a band where if the tracks go down, we still can sound legit and there's still a show. Do you know what I mean? And it's not the end of the world, but if they're there, it just sounds better.
Yeah.
Massively. And it's like, utilizing everyone in this band's got a sick voice. Like, even our drummer, when we started, he was like semi hesitant. Richie was a little bit. And then he opened his mouth and we were like, dude, what are you worried about? It sounds amazing. Like, so good. And like, recording the EP as well, like all our voices together and just being like, hang on a minute, this sounds so cool. Like, just doing it live, man. We're exactly the same. And that really carried over from Presto Mico with the three piece, everyone's always singing. So we were like, well, what? We've got an extra body.
Right.
Four part harmonies. Let's go.
Right. Let's do it. And that's one thing that I wanted to bring up real quick, is the biggest difference, not only just having the four piece versus the three piece, but you also have Meg in there that brings a whole different dynamic to the band.
Massively.
Yeah. That was a very conscious thing that right from the start, because I think from memory, maybe I feel like now maybe we started off And it was kind of like we maybe get like a female vocalist, because it's like in Presto Mico, it's like I always had to be the voice. So I always had to pretend like, you know, like my balls hadn't quite dropped and like, you know, as high as I could. And I was always the high guy, you know. And it was like, I've always kind of wanted a higher register sort of girly voice to put in the mix, because it's like, you know, you listen back to like the Pixies and Smashing Pumpkins and stuff, and it's like it's super cool just having that super delicate voice to juxtapose all of like the chaos. And that, I think that was the thing for us. We heard Meg sing and it was so pretty, and it was just like a completely different color, because, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, Jake's got five different voices, and then I've got kind of my voice that sounds the way it does. Richie's like the perfect blend. You can just throw him in harmonies and he blends so well. But Meg's like, you discover a whole new color on your color palette. Yeah. So I think for us arranging the vocals, it was super exciting to have this whole new element that we could throw in. And like I said, we brought Meg in and we got her vocals on the demos, and it just felt like this is the extra bonus on the rest. You know, it just added a whole new element.
I'd like to touch base on the creative process of when to add the vocals, like you're just kind of talking about. Because one of my favorite things about the EP and this style of music is the way that you guys blend the screaming and the harmony. It's beautifully done. And the most impressive part about that is like kind of knowing when the screaming is appropriate or necessary for emphasis, and then when to sing and when to sing melody and when to harmonize. So how, when you're creating, like how do you go about determining which is appropriate when and where?
I think for me personally, it's like, because I write the lyrics, well, a majority of the lyrics. And then when I get stuck, I go, Luke, help me. but I think a lot of, like, if I'm delivering a lot of the, like, the main lines, I think I already kind of know what is going to be screamed and what's going to be sung, or what kind of scream or what kind of delivery, just based on how I want the certain lines to come across. And also my personal main influences have always treaded that line so well, like that. So yeah, it's kind of funny you mentioned that. I've never really thought about it, because it just kind of seems to happen. And apparently the blend is on point, which is great to hear. But I think with the lyrics, it just kind of falls into place. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what lines you want to scream at the top of your lungs, because they're quite significant. And you know what ones you're going to be like, all right, this is going to be sung, and there's going to be these harmonies, and then they're going to drop out for this line, and then we're going to bring them back for here. And yeah, it just, I guess, I mean, Luke's been doing it for longer than I have with Presto Mico and stuff, in terms of like at least the sung stuff. Presto Mico didn't have any harsh vocals until I joined, pretty much. But I don't know. It kind of just happens.
About this morning, and I think it quite literally, it just sounds like me and Jake coming together and doing what we do. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're both bringing what I think our strengths are to this band, and it just so happens that the fusion seems to work. That's what I love about this as well, because even although I'd lean to slightly more on, you know, more on the melodic and sort of like the vocal arrangement melodically side of things, it's like I love Jake's input on that because it's fresh for me. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, because in Presto Mico I was doing that, and I was the guy doing that for a long time, but now I've got this other person with a slightly different perspective who understands that side of the writing, that can come in and think of something that I never thought of before. And I think on the flip side, Jake, it's like a lot of the sections where it's like, this feels like it needs to be heavy, I'm just like, Jake, do your thing. Do you know what I mean? Because Jake's so good. But then I think on the flip side, there'll be times where maybe the momentum, like we get a bit stuck or we come to a bit of a dead end. And then because it's both of us collaborating, I'll be able to come in and maybe bring a different syncopation or something that's slightly different to the initial idea. And then again, it just sparks the next section. So it's very collaborative. And I think, I think it's why it's working, because if it wasn't, we'd have probably stopped. You know, we started writing and we know what we can bring to the table, and then we just went with it. And then that's kind of the result. You know.
Well, you guys seem to be kind of in the middle of a almost a UK like rock revolution that's coming from the UK. You know, there's a lot of acts that are kind of coming out that have the same kind of sound. And I was going to ask you about it because the press release describes your guys' sound as like an alternative rock and metal, but there seems to be more of like a new kind of sound coming from the UK that I would like to describe as like punk metal. You know, with bands like yourselves, Calvin Louise, the Nova Twins, and kind of Kid Capici, blending that old school punk sound with some metal guitar riffs and like new metal tempo changes. So do you guys agree with that there is a rock revolution coming from the UK, or is it the United States just behind the times here?
I think because you guys have got some real cool fresh bands that are coming through, and I think I've never thought about it. For us, we've always just described ourselves as an alternative rock band because, you know, like I said, when me and Jake started writing, we didn't have any boundaries. It was just kind of like, let's write and see what happens. We knew it was going to be a rock band because that's the music that we love the most, you know, and we knew we wanted to play loud, distorted guitars and have angry bits and stuff because that's the music that we typically want to go and see, you know, as our sort of like number one passion. We like everything in this band. I mean, Richie's background's insane. We'll go into that later. But for me and Jake, predominantly, you know, we love rock music. So we knew it was going to be under that premise. But I think you have the privilege of being so picky with your music taste now. You can get lost in subgenres and defining music. But I think we have so many elements of different things that we love, because it just comes through because that's what we like to listen to. Whether that's good or not, again, is subjective. You know, like, it seems that you guys like it, but I just think, you know, I think the UK is in a good place for just rock at the moment. I think there's a lot of fresh bands, and even the bands that you mentioned, like you could, you know, divide them off into so many different subgenres and niche rabbit holes, especially Calvin Louise. Their latest album's amazing. Like I think the girl's called Jess. She's a genius. I literally think she's.
We're playing a show with them on Saturday.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. We saw that. Yeah.
Tell them hi for us. We've had them on the show before as well.
Absolutely.
I love them. Yeah.
I know what you mean about there seemingly being some sort of like rock revolution coming from the UK though, but I think that personally for me, I think it's just always been the case. It's just when the media chooses to lean on it.
Yeah. Mm.
Like rock is dead every 7 years or so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that is such a thing when it's like, no, it's just asleep, or like people are sleeping on it. Like that's literally all it is. And also with like the punk crossover thing, yeah, there's definitely a bit more of an element, or like post-punk as people would be calling it now. There's definitely an element of that being injected into stuff that could be perceived as more metallic, which I think, Luke, if I'm not mistaken, some of the new stuff we've been writing is kind of within that umbrella, which I personally don't mind at all because I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff, and to be doing that with some seriously filthy downtuned guitars as opposed to like thin reedy guitars is like quite a nice crossover in my humble opinion. So yeah.
It's funny because what Jake said is so true that, you know, in the media, rock's dead every X amount of years. But what's super cool is, you know, like last year, Download was the second highest selling festival in the UK after Glastonbury. I think that was the stat, right? And it just shows that although rock and metal aren't in the mainstream, you know, per se, the subgenres are so big now and there's such a big audience that it kind of doesn't matter anymore. It's like there's enough people listening to whatever they want. And I think that's just been the perfect breeding ground for bands to come through and just be like, well, why do we have to do this? Because all the other bands do. Let's incorporate what we love to rock music. And then you get bands like the Twins that have these super cool electronic, almost like R&B elements to the vocals. And you know, like Kid Capici, they're a bit more of like the very British sounding punk, you know, elements that are mixed in. And I think you just get people, it feels like people have got less boundaries now when they're writing, which is a great thing because there's been many genres that have come and gone that where bands were just carbon copies of each other. And it's so cool to see people just being like, actually, we kind of do what we want now.
Yeah.
I would love to dive a little bit here into, I guess you would say, kind of the thematic elements of this EP and what you guys, you know, have had on your mind over the past couple of years as you've formed and put it together.
Absolutely. I mean, it tying into the name was a complete accident. We were sort of like, we'd already written a few songs and we hadn't even really started to think about a name or even like putting a name to whatever it was, because we still didn't really know what it was going to be when we first started it. And then Luke came to me with that word and I was like, oh, that's piqued my interest. And I sat on it for a few days and sort of like looked into the meaning of it a little bit and was like, yeah, this fits, this works. And I am comfortable with it now, because it's the same for every band when they first start. A band name is the dumbest thing ever until it's in a collective consciousness. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many band names out there where you don't even bat an eyelid, but if you actually took it out of context, you'd be like, what the fuck is that? That's the most stupid thing I've ever heard.
The Beatles. Like, imagine if I was like, I want to start a new band. We're going to call it The Beatles.
Yeah,
like, if you
forget
The Beatles exist and think about that literally. Not many people are going to go for that, but
it's a play on words too. It's a B-E-A-T, so it's a joke, and they're the biggest band in the world.
Or like a music podcast that names themselves The Itch.
That
was a mistake too.
It was.
My joke was always I've never gotten over that one of the biggest metal bands of the world is called Korn. I'm like, Korn, the stuff growing in a field that you eat. That's their band name, with a K, a 90s nu metal K. And they're still huge.
And a backwards R, child's R.
Yes,
a child's R. And they're still huge 30 years later.
Big Korn. The reading the meaning and being like, I can relate to that personally, especially the UK has been through quite a lot politically in the last about 13 years actually, but a lot of it sort of came to a head from 2016 onwards with like Brexit and things like that. And that was just a crazy time to be a UK citizen, and I guess it just fit the bill. And there was a few things that I've been writing. Waste, our last single in particular, is probably the most on the nose politically charged thing that I've ever written. I mean, there's still a lot of open-ended, ambiguous kind of stuff in there, which I think is healthy, and it helps people relate to stuff however they may wish to. I think it's good to not be too on the nose. But that song in particular does tie in quite a lot with the name. And also I think it helps, I hate to use the term, but like brand wise, it's kind of like we were saying earlier, each member of this band has quite a strong personality on the outside. Like we were saying, it was like quite easy to latch in on any one of us. We're all singing. We all have our own sort of stage presence when we play live and things like that. So it's like, we are all un-people. But collectively we make the band. And I think also it's easier to relate that to your fan base as well, because it's sort of like, it's kind of like that 99 versus the 1% thing where it's like, I guarantee we ain't got no billionaires watching us. Like, everyone in this room and everyone listening to us, we are all essentially un-people. And when that started to sort of like tick over in my mind, I was like, this is definitely the way forward. And people seem to dig it. So I'm not saying that we're like activists or anything like that, but it's nice to feel seen and be in a group. And, you know, even if you come from different backgrounds, we're all united by big riffs, right? Like that too.
I think as well, like, something that really resonated with me that I know Jake connects with as well is myself and Jake. This is something Jake thematically, I think, ties in into a lot of his lyrics, is a lot of brain sort of space is taken up with, you know, it's difficult to be a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's something that everyone can relate to, and everyone at some point in their life, whether it's for political reasons or not, has felt unseen or like they don't matter or like they've been unheard. And I think that was something that we felt strong about, because it's like, you know, existentially myself and Jake would go off on mad spirals and freak ourselves out, but it's like, so we liked that it can kind of tie into that as well, because it's like, we're just floating around on a rock right now. But But I think, you know, we liked how instantly inclusive that felt, you know. And like I said, it doesn't matter what your background is, it could be one extreme to the other. I think there's certain human emotions and traits and consistencies and how you can feel as just being a person that are universal. And I think for me, I really connected with that side of it, where it's like you're just an un-person. It's like it doesn't matter how you're packaged up, you will feel the same thing at some point in one way or another, you know.
You literally said the thing I was gonna say, but more eloquently. Yeah, it's like that's the kind of thing that resonates, because you're literally just, you've got these five songs here and they're just exploring the struggle it is to be a person, and the, you know, the tensions you live in, the questions of meaning and of, you know, how you're spending your time, and even power dynamics and things like that showing up in there. It's a lot. Yeah. And it's, I mean, there's a reason people gravitate towards it. So,
and that's, I think, you know, if you just be a fly on the wall to, like, when me and Jake are just hanging out and like 4 a.m. in the morning, it's like, that's the stuff that we're talking about more. It's like, we all individually have our own stance on things politically, some more extreme than others, you know, we're all broadly in the same boat, but it's like the stuff that we've really, you know, that we're up talking hours into the morning about is that human struggle stuff. And just, taking the each day by day, and just, I think you can just connect with anyone on that level. So we liked that it doesn't matter what your views are, you can be united as under this umbrella, and hopefully, like Jake said, enjoy some riffs together, which is what we all like.
Ultimately, we're alive at the same time that riffs are, and I, for one, am very grateful for that.
Agreed.
That's quotable right there. I know what I'm making a graphic out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Grateful to be alive with riffs.
With riffs. Yeah.
In fact, that's our new motto for the show. I think we're just going to adopt that. Like,
yeah, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about the EP. I really wanted to talk about, you know, the first thing that you see visually when you bring up the EP. The album cover. And I just really have one question. And the question is, what the fuck? Like, what is going on?
Then it's kind of, in a way, I think that's mission accomplished.
Yes. That's the reaction you wanted.
I think, yeah, it's one of those things where, so my girlfriend, Bethany, actually did the painting, and it's a painting that's up in our living room at the moment. And she's much more talented than I am. She's one of these annoying people where it's like, she'll just be like, I'm going to make an outfit, or she'll make you she made me a cake one year that had like a replica of our family dog, or like, she's just one of those people where she'll just be like, I'll just make that and then create it. And it's really annoying because I feel inadequate.
Yeah, but she sucks on guitar, man. So.
She's so bad at guitar. She's so bad. But it was one of those things where, you know, I think me and Jake for a while were kind of being like, what does this visually look like? Because it's like, we're writing music that, in our opinion, sounds a little bit different. You know, it doesn't just sound like another band, and it's got its own quirk. And then I think as a collective of people, we, you know, we look the way we do, and we act the way we do. And I think everything about this band, we wanted to come at from a slightly different approach. And that's even in kind of, you know, what we wear. It's what we wear every day, but we kind of wanted to stay away from stuff that's like metal. Do you know what I mean? Or like rock. We kind of, you know, we there's a lot of bands we like that are kind of, if you looked at them, you wouldn't necessarily know that Jake does a guttural scream at some point in the set, you know. And Bethany just kind of heard the music, and she was just like, let me just draw something up that I think might be cool. And I was just like, yeah, cool, we're open to anything right now. And then I remember that came through, and we were all just like, what? Obviously, that's it. Like, that's perfect. And, you know, I think we love how the aesthetic is, again, slightly different. Like, when we've seen it in playlists and stuff, we knew that artwork would stand out, which I think it does. But also, there's a lot of subtext and the meaning of the artwork as well, that just tied in so perfectly to how we feel as a band, and the stuff that Jake liked to put into words and articulate through his lyrics. And yeah, it's, you know, and we like as well that it's kind of open to, like, you three may have completely different takes on the meaning of it, and that's something that's really important for us.
Keep it ambiguous.
Yeah.
We spent like 10 minutes just discussing it in our pregame session last night. So yeah, it definitely is serving its purpose.
We got our interpretations. So, like, I'm pretty sure this was.
I'd be so interested to hear like kind of theories that you had behind it.
I mean, yeah, we could. I got my theory. What are you going to go, Dan? What do you think?
My favorite part was it looks like the lady is like riding the sun or with like it's got like a, I don't know, a cat mustache or something. It's the weirdest thing. It's so many things going on. Got like death overlooking them. The devil's like running away or something. It is so awesome and so confusing at the same time.
That's so cool.
Hey, that's a lot like life, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
He's like, you actually got it 100%. That's exactly what it was. Like,
yeah, that's it. It's
no more ambiguity. He nailed it. I think that's kind of where I landed. Was like, I mean, especially once I found out that the band name kind of also played, you know, a role, and I was like, well, okay, then the art's going to be intentional as well in connecting some of this stuff. And that was sort of my interpretation. If your songs are about like these anxieties and these things that kind of closing in and pressuring people, then, you know, having death looking over your shoulder and like a devil following you around, it kind of tags it. Like, it makes sense. It really tracks with that kind of vibe of these things, you know, converging on a person. But then also so many bright colors and like, yeah, it's wild. It's like, it's pretty and disturbing at the same time.
Well, that was kind of like what sort of Bethany's vision for it was. You're a band that sounds like this, that has the light and the dark, so that should be represented in the art. And then, you know, the subtext can be read in whatever way. You know, I think her vision for it was, you know, you've got the girl on the space hopper that's just sort of bouncing through the field, and it's kind of like, I think me and Jake like to think of that as like, that's being a human. It's like, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're
just all just bouncing around.
And then obviously, you know, like, I think you could take the devil in a more literal sense of, you know, we've all got our stuff that we're dealing with. And, you know, no matter how much joy you might feel in something, there can often be an underlying factor at play, which again, I think universally as people that, you know, we feel that together. And then death's just there to remind you that we're all going to end up in the same place.
Yeah. That was one thing that we did
never forget.
Yeah. That we did come up with is how are there so many pretty flowers still around death? Like, shouldn't they be dead?
Uh-huh. Nah, he appreciates it. He's got a secret green finger. He just don't want people to know about it.
There you go. Yeah.
But that's also, you know, that's just one interpretation of it, you know, and it's like, well, I think it's the same way when, you know, sometimes with, I think me and Jake spend a lot of time looking at his lyrics on the chorus and just being like, is this kind of open enough? Because sometimes you want it to be more specific, but I think we both like that sometimes having a big chorus where four people can take different kind of meanings from it is just something we love about music. And again, it kind of feeds into that we're all just humans and we can connect in this universal art form. And I think, you know, I think we're almost subconsciously trying to be consistent with that the whole way through this band at the moment.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to our last section that we kind of pick from this pool of questions for everybody that we speak with. We call it burning questions. The one we always start with, and happy to have both of you guys' responses naturally. A piece of music that changed your life.
A piece of music,
anything.
Could be a song, an album, a show. I don't know.
Jake, you want to go first?
The most recent piece of music that changed my life was seeing Meshuggah open at the Royal Albert Hall in London with the first track off their last album, Broken Cog, and that legitimately changed my life.
How so?
I was sat down and sober as a judge intentionally because I wanted to really like feel it. And when the first groove kicked in halfway through the song, I got out of my seat, but I didn't do it. It just sort of happened. Like, I'm not even joking. And tears started streaming down my face. It was unbelievable. And then I made a lot of big life decisions not long after that moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Legitimately.
All right.
It was unbelievable.
I think for me, I'm trying to think, like, I think the first thing that comes to mind was, so there was a UK band called Sick who were super influential. Do you know that band? Sick with a K. Mm-hmm. They're like they were very much like, I think for the people that know, they were responsible for so much of what you hear now in the technical aspects. Okay. And in mine and Jake's humble opinion, they are still the best to have done it. And I remember I heard a song by them called Peep Show. And funnily enough, it was actually one of their more songy songs, you know, rather than, because they're normally just tear your face off, just absolute shred fest band. But Peep Show was the first time I'd heard. What are the chords that I love? Do you know what they're what are they, Jake? You know, the ones.
I think there's a lot of I think there's a lot of add nines, yeah, on the go in
there. Yeah, Jake's got the technical. I move my fingers and I'm like, this sounds cool, I'm gonna do that. Jake's like, so that's that.
Yeah.
And, that's what you did.
It's the first time I'd heard that kind of chord being used, and just something about it connected me with me, because it was like, wait, you're playing like rhythm and lead guitar at the same time, where you've got the root notes and you've got melody flowing through that. And then I think you hear a lot of that. That basically kind of set me off on a whole path of playing guitar the way I do. And I think you hear that more in Presto Mico, because it's like a single guitar band, and I was always trying to like decorate every chord, you know, sometimes to a fault, but like, you know, always trying to make a melody within a melody with Presto Mico. Whereas on People's a bit more like, me and Jake just want to be heavy and dumb for the most part, and make people knock their heads. So, and it's fun, you know, there's a couple of tricky bits in there on guitar, but yeah, I think hearing that that song for the first time had such a huge impact on the way I heard what you could do with a guitar, you know, in regards to songwriting as well. Cause it's like, oh, so melody just doesn't have to be on a vocal. It can also be with a guitar, you know, and it can have, mm-hmm, a whole outer melody. So I think for me, that was quite a life-changing moment. And then, you know, Sixth ended up being one of my all-time favorite bands as well. So yeah, it's super cool.
Now we got homework.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah.
I love homework.
Yeah.
Also, it's funny that we mentioned both those bands, because Sixth plus Meshuggah basically created, for better or for worse, the entire genre of djent, as it is now known. They are basically responsible for that whole sort of like progressive metal boom circa 2008 until the present day, like the combination of those two bands. So it's funny that we both chose those. But yeah, they're both pretty significant. Yeah.
Which is actually funny, because I think that's a genre we don't really like that much.
I hate it.
That's funny.
I don't. Hate is a fucking strong word. Periphery are legitimately one of my favorite bands. So like, yeah.
What you got there, Dan?
The next burning question I was going to ask is a song that you're especially proud to have written.
In this band or ever?
Ever. We like to leave it open-ended. Yeah.
Yeah, open-ended.
The first single off of our yet to be released album.
Yeah, I like that one.
I fucking love that one.
I feel with Unpeople, I feel it's hard for me to pick. I feel quite proud of all five songs, because it's just the whole thing just feels like an accomplishment. And I know this is a cop out answer, because I'm not giving you a specific.
We like to put people in a bind.
Yeah.
Put you against the wall for this answer. Yeah.
I do feel very, very proud of, you know, what myself and Jake started, and then, you know, with the refinements as a full band with Meg and Richie as well. But I think that, you know, there's probably some Presto Mico songs I feel that way about as well. I couldn't tell you right now. Jake, what's your favorite Presto Mico song?
Your favorite Presto Mico song is Baby Steps.
Oh yeah, I like that one. I'm proud of that one. Yeah.
Your favorite.
Your favorite is.
Yeah.
Yourself. Put a question where people answer for each other in future. Yeah, yeah. That's fine. I like that.
We've spent a lot of time with each other.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Last one here, and I'm going to switch it up a little bit. What's a song you wish you had written? Like, if you could put your name on any song and call it yours, what would that be?
Unchained Melody. It's got to be, right? It's just, it's like the perfect pop song. It's just, yeah, I've got goosebumps just talking about that song. It's so melodically, the way it progresses. I know it's an old one, but it's just like it always comes to the front of my head. Or Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears. Like the way the counter melody comes back on that last chorus from the bridge is genius. And it's just,
massive.
Tenacious D just covered that song.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Shit.
Yeah.
For the Kung Fu Panda 4 soundtrack. Yeah. The Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah.
Thick.
I love that you appreciate it for the technical elements and not because it would make a bazillion dollars. That's, yeah. Although that surely is good too, but
you've just exposed me.
Secretly, I just wanted to get rich, you know.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
My choices would have next to no financial gain, so let's balance this shit out. Mine would be there's a song by a band called The Fall of Troy called The Dark Trail, which I think is off of their third record, Manipulator. I fucking love that song. I remember hearing that when I was about 16 or 17 and being like, how do you do that? How the fuck do you write a song? And then the next one would be by a band called XTC, a British band called XTC, called No Language in Our Lungs, which is off of their 1980 album Black Sea. That is like a perfect song for me, lyrically, melodically, arrangement wise. It's just flawless. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my fix.
Can I add one more modern one?
Yeah, sure. Please.
It would be, I think, maybe like Spillways off the latest Ghost album. Because again, it's just like, that whole record, if you want like a songwriting masterclass, that whole record is on another level. And I come at that as from the perspective of, because it makes you feel so good, as well as it being like, it's basically ABBA. Do you know what I mean? Like the level.
Yeah.
I listened to that album. Me and Jacob listened to that album together and many times, and just being like, how do you, like, it's another one of those things where it's like, there's some like transitions that are done on that album that I'm just like, how do you do that? Like, how do you make that work and feel so seamless? And, you know, it's insane.
Yeah, you can break it down technically, but even still, how do you 100%. Get there?
Yeah. How do you think of it? So I think it's very easy to analyze music from a technical perspective post, you know, but it's like when me and Jake are writing, it's like, we're not thinking like that ever. We're like, what makes us want to jump around right now and fucking, you know, hug each other and make us feel something? And it's like, we're writing from a feel perspective rather than, oh, this is technically the correct relative minor to, you know, whatever. It's like, so I think, you know, just that the writing on that album is so incredibly intricate, but it's still has such huge sing-along potential and just feels so good and seamless. That last Ghost record is probably one of my top five ever albums.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, so much homework now. Yeah a whole bunch of stuff to listen to. I love it. There was this TV show, what you just said reminded me of, Penn and Teller, the magicians, and other magicians would do, you know, their magic tricks, and they would try to figure out what it was. And that's kind of what you just reminded me of. It's like, I'm artists seeing these other artists up there and being like, I don't know where you came up with that. I don't know how you pulled it off. Like, that's almost literal magic. Like,
yeah, but thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. However you did it, I'm grateful. So
thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah.
Thank you
for joining us. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to have you guys.
Likewise, thank you for having us, really appreciate it. It's been great.
So the EP is coming out Friday. We're hyped about it. Other people are gonna be too, because we're gonna be incessantly nagging them to listen to it. So
yes,
thank you.
Yeah,
that's all we could ask for, is that you spend every day talking about it.
Yeah, and we hope you make it over to the States sooner than later.
Yes. Same. Well, let's see what we can do. The idea has certainly been floated, to say the least. So
awesome.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be over as soon as possible. But no, again, thank you so much. It really means the world to us that you're connecting with the music and want to share it, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for listening to The Itch Podcast. My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
And until next time, are you being honest with yourself?
Perfect.
Very nice.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about The Itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, itchrocks.
And people.